Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious New Orleans Convention Center here in New Orleans at Gelb, day number 3. I think that's right. On Radio Row, we're coming to you live, getting you set for Super Bowl 59 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. We have a monster, and I mean monster, show for you today. Swinging by in a few moments from now, Ron Rivera is going to join us, the former coach in the NFL. Obviously, Carolina Panthers made a Super Bowl. Last few years was coaching the Commanders, been out of the game for a year, doing a bunch of stuff in the media world. And today it was just announced, actually like an hour or so ago, from Adam Schefter, Schefty, on ESPN, that former Commanders head coach Ron Rivera texted that he is returning to his alma mater, Cal, to help the football program. Coach Belichick has made going back to school cool, Rivera texted to reporters. And last time we talked to Ron Rivera, it was at Army-Navy Radio Row, and I asked him about potentially going back to school. He clearly stated he wanted to be an NFL head coach first, had some interviews in this cycle with the Jets and the Bears, but obviously did not get either job. So we will offer up our congratulations and say hello to Ron Rivera coming up in a few moments. Pac-Man Jones, I saw him last night. He's going to stop by in about 20 minutes from now. Fred Warner is going to join us from the San Francisco 49ers. And then how about the defensive hour that we have for you at 4 p.m. Eastern time? Well, actually, you know, so far we've been leading the way on defense. Defense still matters. Defense wins championships. But coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern time today, Micah Parsons from the Dallas Cowboys is going to join us at 4:20 p.m. Eastern. We'll be joined live on set by Myles Garrett. Can't wait to hear that one. Demario Davis from the Saints is also going to join us later on in the show. And then the final hour of the program, Warren Sapp will join us as well. So Ron Rivera, Pac-Man Jones, Fred Warner, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, Demario Davis, and Warren Sapp is the guest list today as we come to you live from the New Orleans Convention Center as we broadcast to all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and streaming on YouTube. Really appreciate guys like Cap and Rami for getting the YouTube stream back up and running, so we appreciate your efforts back in our New York City headquarters. And as always, you give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And you can always give us a call, 855-212-4227. And we get a day closer and closer to the big game. You know, we're staying in the Eagles hotel, but it is separated. And I finally got a chance to see some Eagles earlier this morning. I saw Cooper DeJean walking around, Reed Blankenship walking around, and Dallas Goedert as well. So the Eagles well represented here for the Super Bowl, and we'll see how this is going to play on out coming up on Sunday between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. And here we go. Big congratulations. He's back in the game. He is Ron Rivera on behalf of USAA, and he's kind enough to join us right now. Ron Rivera, he's going back to his alma mater, going back to school, and you're taking pretty much over the Cal program in a nice little role right there for Coach Rivera. That's pretty damn cool to come up in with this role for you in this whole name, image, and likeness era.
You know, it's going to be kind of interesting just because it's an opportunity to go home. You know, I'm going back to my alma mater. We're working on these details, trying to get this thing hammered out. But it'll be a chance to be involved with the university on the academic and athletic level. You know, I'm going to work with the chancellor's office, work with the athletic department, work with the football team, and looking forward to the challenge and the chance to take this team to another level. You know, the last few years they've gone to bowl games. In my opinion, now it's the chance to get them in position to win the conference, help get them into the playoffs, all that kind of stuff. That's what we're shooting for.
And it's such an uncharted territory now in the college game, but it is an NFL feel. This is not amateur sports anymore. This is not, right, I know school is obviously still a focus, but this is a professional business now.
It's got that. It's not quite gotten to where the NFL is because there's still some amateurism to it. But the key is, like you said, there's a professionalism to them. And what we see, a lot of these college teams are reaching out to the NFL. They're looking for guys that come in and help support the program, help develop the program, grow the program. And one of the really neat things that happened this offseason, a lot of people kept going, huh, why is he doing it? It's Coach Belichick took the UNC job with that in mind. And so, again, looking at what he's doing and saying this may be one of the models that we're going to look at, we most certainly are going to consider doing that.
Now, I know we've talked about this before where we saw you at Army-Navy Radio Row for
yes.
USAA. And that was right after the Bill stuff happened. And you said, hey, I want to be an NFL head coach again. I think it's going to happen. But I did bring up college, and you did express an interest in it. Now, this is not in a head coaching role, but a year from now, would that be something that would maybe intrigue you?
No, what really does intrigue me is being able to support the university. I mean, first and foremost, I'm at the age now where, you know, I was interviewing for some assistant head coaching jobs in the NFL. And it hit me when I was doing one of these interviews that, wait a minute, I'm sitting here talking about mentoring coaches and working with young players. There's an opportunity to go back to Cal, work with Justin Wilcox, who's the head coach, who I think is a really fine young coach. And I think with some work and some help, we can get to another level. I really do believe that, and I think he's a heck of a young coach. There's a lot of good quality young guys out there on the college level that with some mentoring, with some people working with them, and also with some of the resources that we could get for him, that there's a chance for him to take that to another level.
Ron Rivera here with us. What was it like for you? Because it's got to be odd when you watch one of your old teams and they're having so much success. There's probably so many mixed emotions, but there's so many relationships at the end of the day. Seeing what the Commanders did this year, what was it like watching for you?
I was very happy for Dan Quinn. Dan's a friend. You know, he and I have been close as professionals. And I was really pleased at the fact that he came out and actually, you know, reached out to me. We got a chance to talk about the environment. We got a chance to talk about what was there and some of the current players and stuff like that. And it was really neat to watch them have the success they did, because I know Dan so well. Getting to know that some of the players that we had brought in and guys that, you know, I really think are good young guys and good football players have the success, it was very neat. In fact, today was the first time I got to meet Jaden Daniels.
Oh, wow.
And it was really neat talking with him and just, you know, just tell him, hey, man, you did a great job. And he really did. And it was fun to see. It was fun to watch.
It's kind of crazy how quickly things could change in the NFL.
Yes.
Because we saw 2 years ago that happened with C.J. Stroud with the Texans, yep. Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. And that's what it is. You get a quarterback, boom.
You see, this is a quarterback-driven league. I've been through it. In 2011, we draft Cam Newton and changed the entire fortunes of that franchise. Unfortunately, Cam gets hurt in 2018, and unfortunately, just, you know, we kind of fall off the tracks there. But when you have that guy, you put yourself in position now to get into the playoffs. You have that guy, and he's developing and growing. You have a chance to win in the playoffs. You have that guy that's a guy, that's the number one guy. You're in the championship game. You get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. This is quarterback-driven. You have a quarterback, you're halfway there.
And I know Coach Ron Rivera, you're getting a little takey. You were involved with the media this year. I saw you doing your thing. Now Cam's doing his thing on First Take. Every time he says something, boom, it goes viral. What did you make last week when he was saying that he would rather have a league MVP than a Super Bowl championship? If he would give up his league MVP for a Super Bowl title, he said he wouldn't do it.
You know, it's funny. If you look at some of the things that he's accomplished, the things that he's done, it they're special. They really are. And until you win one, a Super Bowl, to me, you don't understand, you know, exactly what it is. He's won a national championship. He's won a Heisman Trophy. He's won the MVP. There's only one thing that is missing on his resume, and that's that. And I kind of think that if he had, you know, if he had won it, I think he would feel differently.
Do you think the Jets, and I know this is a Cal connection, do you think the Jets should bring back Aaron Rodgers, in your opinion?
I think what they need to do is they need to sit down and explore it with him. I think it's a decision that's got to be made congruently with a conversation where they're all in this discussion, and it's like, dude, are you going to commit? Are you going to buy in? Are you going to be part of what we do? We can't have the same situation. The guy's a tremendous talent. The arm talent's still there. We saw it. We saw the ability to do those things still. But you've also got to have the components around him, because this is a quarterback-driven league. Once you find your franchise quarterback, you got to protect him. You got to put playmakers around him. And then you've got to have a protection plan for him. Then you've got to have a complementary defense that's going to take the football away and put them in scoring position. You get those elements around any quarterback in this league, and you are a playoff team.
Ron Rivera, how did you reflect on interviewing for the Jets and the Bears?
I went back and, you know, really looked at things I did more so in Carolina. When I was in Washington the last few years, I was more of a manager than a coach. You know, you really felt like you were trying to keep people and situations, circumstances from getting into the way of football. And that was different. But in Carolina, we had a plan. We had a process. We were able to stick to the process. We didn't have those types of distractions that got in the way. We were able to manage them and really focus in on what was important, not what was interesting.
I also want to ask you about the Bears and their future. So Caleb Williams, right, up and down first year. You get a coach that gets fired. It's not an easy situation, as Ron Rivera's here with USAA. But one of the guys on the market, the two hottest names were Ben Johnson and Mike Vrabel. Mike lands with the Patriots, and Ben Johnson, the offensive mind, he lands with the Bears. There's always, right, and you know it, you go from a coordinator to head coach. You never know how that transition's going to be. Some guys can handle it, some guys can't. What do you think this pairing of Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams can be?
Well, I think it'd be very good. The biggest thing that has to happen, more so than anything else, is, you know, with Ben Johnson is we're going to start from the beginning. We're going to go back to the base fundamentals. We'll go back to the things that help build who you are, in my opinion. What Ben does, that's up to him, but I think this young man needs to refine and work on his base fundamentals again. Get back to what got him to be a special player. And then instill a style of offense that's going to exploit and use his best abilities and talents. This is a guy that showed he was special coming out of college. Somewhere along the lines, they got away from it. Somewhere along the lines, it looked like they tried to put him into a system that he is not comfortable in. This is a guy that grew up in a specific style. He was with the same head coach his entire college career. Now, all of a sudden, he had to go out and learn something that didn't suit him. One of the things that I think that they need to do is take a look at what he did collegiately. Look at what allowed him to have the success that he had and incorporate that into what they want to do. We did that with Cam Newton. That was one of the things that Rob Chudzinski and the offensive staff did was, you know, we went out, we talked to the coaches at Auburn. We talked to Gus Malzahn and find out what Cam did well. And then Rob Chudzinski, Mike Shula, you know, they got together and said, hey, let's work this. Let's design this. Let's do this. We can run these plays from shotgun. We can run these plays from under center. Let's take advantage of these things and do that. That's what Cliff Kingsbury did. You know, when I talked to Cliff Kingsbury about what he had done with Jaden, that was one of the things he talked about. He went and looked at what Jaden did. Look at all the different things that he used and then took it and incorporated it in his offensive system and created an offense that fit this young man. And look at the success they had.
I know no one likes losing, right? No one should like losing. But I think there's a certain way to handle losing.
Yes.
And when you're the quarterback, it's more than just being any other player on the team. And that's something that I think you need to see more out of Caleb Williams. On the sideline, there's times when things aren't going well. I'm not saying you need to have a smile on your face, but there's just a certain sulking that happens.
And one of the things he'll learn is that, you know, the other 52 guys look at you. Your body language is important. Your posture is important. You know, you can't lay on the ground when you get knocked down. You got to pop up and get back like nothing happened. And on the sideline, you can't slump on the bench. People notice those things.
Yeah.
Your teammates know. You want to exude confidence. You want to exude, hey, we got this. Let's go. Get me the ball. I want to get back out there and make it happen. This young man, these things will happen for him. He'll learn these things. He'll understand these things, and he's going to take it, and he's going to run with it. I really do think that, you know, what the Bears did, getting Ben Johnson, was a signal that, hey, we're going to work this out. We're going to get this corrected, and we're going to go forward.
So the two things that stand out to me the most in this game, Ron Rivera, it's the Eagles defense up against the Chiefs offensive line. And then also what stands out to me, too, is just if that game is there for the taking late and 15 has the ball, just how it's going to play out.
Well, for me, the biggest thing is, first of all, I'd love to see history. I really do. You know, I think a three-peat, which has only been done once, and that was at the very beginning of the NFL. Okay, Green Bay had just won the NFL championship, okay, and then the next year they start calling it the Super Bowl. They win the next two. So there's your first ever three-peat. But what they're going to do now is there's an opportunity to win three Super Bowls. This hasn't been done before. This will be a very special moment, I think, for the NFL if it can be accomplished. Secondly, I don't disagree with you. If there's a chance to win it at the end of the game and Kansas City's got the ball, I lean towards Kansas City. I really do. This game's going to come down to, and I don't disagree with you, Kansas City's ability to slow down that pass rush. You know, for the most part, we saw what they like to do on defense. They'll rush the passer with just four and drop seven so they can help those young corners, those young DBs. That, I think, is brilliant. I think that's, you know, kind of the hallmark of what their defense has done all year. I expect Coach Spag to have a plan to try and stop the run and slow it down. This game will come down to explosives. If Saquon has a number of explosive runs, 20 yards or more. I think that could be to the detriment of Kansas City. If Mahomes can have three or more explosive passes, that'll be the detriment of Philadelphia.
And tell me what you're doing today with USAA.
Well, I'm here with USAA, you know, for the Salute to Service Award. USAA sponsored this. They sponsored Salute to Service Week as far as the NFL is concerned, and they've been very, very giving as far as that is. And it's just kind of neat to be associated with it. My father was in the United States military, so this is very important to me. I'm a Salute to Service Award winner. I won that a few years back, and it was actually a very proud moment for me, but an even prouder moment for my father because of his service, knowing that one of the things that I like to work towards is giving back to the military community and saying thank you very much to our troops and to the family members that support those troops. So this has been a really big deal for me. This year's award winner, most of anything else, George Kittle, a guy that's very deserving, gives back to the community and gives back to the military community as well. And so a lot of people know that, and that's a really big deal. And very proud of the fact that George Kittle now is a Salute to Service Award winner.
Coach, always great to see you. We appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you.
We'll take a timeout. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. That's Coach Ron Rivera. Adam Pac-Man Jones will be in the house next. All righty, back from New Orleans, day number three, Radio Row. Zach Gelb here with you. Good stuff with Ron Rivera as you see another former NFL head coach going back to school. I know it's not in a head coaching role, but good to chat it up with Ron Rivera a few hours ago when that announcement comes out. We get him right on the show shortly after that. We'll have Adam Pac-Man Jones stopping by in a bit. We'll do some Travis Hunter conversation with him and also the state of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I guess we'll get into the Tennessee Titans as well because they're fascinating to me what they're going to do with the number one pick in the NFL draft because when you look at Tennessee, this is a team that they need a quarterback. They could use a defensive back. They could use a star pass rusher. And they could also trade back to acquire more assets with Mike Borgonzi coming on in as the new general manager for the Kansas City. How about those Chiefs? So we'll chat some things up there with Adam Pac-Man Jones. Fred Warner going to stop by in about 20 minutes as well, live on the show. Micah Parsons in the 4 p.m. Eastern time hour, followed by Miles Garrett and DeMario Davis. And then we'll get back into a lot of Colorado conversation with Warren Sapp. I had an interesting evening last night. I'll get into more of that later on in the show. But I would like Samter and Stu later on in the show. I'll set the stage. I was in a private gambling room last night, and there was one huge celebrity that is associated with this game that's not playing in this game that was in that room as well. And the room only consisted of 6 people. And I was one of the 6 people that were in that room last night. So I'll share more of that story and how that all came about later, but I'll have Samter and Stu brainstorm some guesses, and we'll follow through on that later on in the hour as Super Bowl week is starting to pick up. The storylines for this game, you know, I think they've already are played out, and we talked about this yesterday. When you get into the Chiefs going for a three-peat, you get into as well the legacy of Patrick Mahomes already. Travis Kelce already kind of dismissed that this is going to be his final game. So don't anticipate that there's going to be a retirement after this one. You know, could potentially get the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce with the engagement afterwards. We had fun with that, talking with Paige Baranek yesterday. So those are just some of the things. And then on the other side, it's the Eagles. Saquon's the biggest story, I would say. But in the game breakdown, and I even said it to Ron Rivera, in the game breakdown, for me, it's that Eagles defensive line and that Eagles front 7 going up against the Chiefs offense. And that's the way that, right, these legendary quarterbacks, they lose games. When you have the greatness of Patrick Mahomes, just like you had the greatness of Tom Brady, I don't care what quarterback you are, some quarterbacks handle it better. But when you get hit as a quarterback, that's a problem. I don't think you need a PhD in football to figure that one out. So the way to beat Mahomes is you got to hit him, and you got to hope that it's good enough with the lead and the foundation that you build on in this contest. And that's something to me that is going to monitor in this game. That Chiefs offensive line, can they hold up against this ferocious Eagles pass rush? And we saw when Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl, a big reason because of that was Mahomes is running for his life all throughout the game. So for the Eagles, you know, a little Sirianni redemption, a little Jalen Hurts redemption as well. but not a lot of major storylines that I think people are freaking out and going nuts about heading into this Super Bowl. But, you know, I say this, and I think this is sometimes a media problem that we do. We go, oh, you know, no buzz with this Super Bowl. And you know, I've said it right. Oh, it's a little bit boring in the buildup. Ultimately, I think most fans, and that's what we talk to, the fans, they care about if the game's going to be good or not. I don't know how much the fans care about the hoopla leading up to the Super Bowl. They care if we got a good game or not, and I would be very surprised if we don't get a good game on Sunday. If there is going to be a blowout, I think it would be the Eagles that would blow out the Kansas City Chiefs. Just, hey, the Chiefs offense, maybe it's one of those days that the offense couldn't get off the ground. But I would be really surprised if we don't get a down-to-the-wire, close game, one-score game late. And the question just going to be who has the ball and where the score and situation is going to be in this game. Because if Mahomes has the ball late, no one's going to feel good about it. And you look at those great quarterbacks, Brady with the ball late, Montana with the ball late. You know how great those quarterbacks are. And you have great quarterbacks, and then you have big, big moment quarterbacks. And you could argue the three greatest big moment quarterbacks in the history of the NFL are Brady, are Montana, and then also what Patrick Mahomes has already done in a short 7-8 year run with the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, here's an image I did not think I would see. And I know I may be persona non grata when it comes to his camp and being in his presence, but I just saw that Deebo Samuel walked by me. And Deebo Samuel is wearing, who is a huge fan of me, let me tell you. And there's some things happening behind the scenes on that throughout this week that maybe we'll get into at another day when it comes to the Deebo Samuel camp and his representation. But Deebo is walking around. Remember, this is the guy that hung up the phone on me because I pressed him about things that he said about the Eagles. He's walking around in a Kelly Green, A.J. Brown jersey. How he is rooting for the Eagles in this one. If I would have told folks that a year and a half, 2 years ago, no one, and I mean no one, would have ever believed that. So that's something like, do you believe in miracles? Yes. I did not think I'd be seeing Adam. You had Deebo Samuel in a Kelly Green Eagles jersey. So that's just wild, to say the least. And we got Pac-Man Jones in the house right now. You know, we could talk about all his accolades and everything that he accomplished in the NFL. And now is the host of the Pac-Man Jones Show. But I think the biggest title that Adam Pac-Man Jones has these days is that he's a friend of our good friend in Sully, right? Yeah. Adam Pac-Man Jones, he is one of Sully's good friends.
Sully's
the best. I know he's listening right now. And
Sully!
He's having FOMO right now because he's still in Las Vegas and he wishes he was out here with us.
Shout out to my shrink, Sully. I love you, man.
Yeah, so how have things been? You been enjoying the week?
Oh, I've been enjoying the week. New Orleans doing pretty good, I would say.
But when you come here, what do you like to do?
I'm a big food guy.
Yeah.
So I like going down, tasting all the different food.
Po' boys,
yeah.
And gumbo,
yeah.
And beignets, and,
yeah.
And all that stuff?
Yep.
All righty, let me get into the Bengals with you. So a few years ago, we know what they did. They beat the Chiefs. They get to the Super Bowl. They lose to the Rams. No one could block Aaron Donald. You know, easier said than done. I get it. And then the following year, they lose in the AFC Championship. Since then, they haven't been back as the way that we expect the Bengals. Where do you think the Bengals are headed?
Well, we was one game from making the playoffs, and then it could have been a whole different season. I think we didn't start off good. We got to figure out a way to start better in the earlier part of the season. This is the second year that we started off shitting in the first four or five games, first quarter of the season. So I think that's the main thing, finding out a way to start fast.
With Joe Burrow, we know he's not going anywhere. They'll get a deal done with Jamar Chase. But when it comes to T. Higgins, you feel like he's going to go somewhere else and be number one wide receiver elsewhere?
I think Mr. Brown do whatever he have to do to keep T. Higgins there.
Wow.
We seen what happened when we did this in 2015 when we had A.J., Marvin Jones, Marvin Sanu, and Hulk, and we end up getting rid of them, and it kind of hurt us because AJ really couldn't carry the load by himself. And this day and age, you need two dominant receivers.
When we get to Tennessee, another team that you played for, they have the number one pick. All right, everyone's going to give their opinion. Do you go quarterback? Do you go
Abdul quarterback?
Yeah?
I'm not sold on Will Levis. I'm sorry.
And if you don't have a quarterback, then you're screwed in this league.
Yeah, you are. I'm just saying I'm not sold on
him. I don't blame you. I don't think Will Levis has done enough to make you think that, oh, this could be our guy when you have the number one pick in the draft.
Nah, I would go quarterback.
Cam or Shador?
Shador.
Okay. Why Shador?
because when you come from a tool of tangibles, I should say, with Deion being his dad, the stage is never too big. Kid loved football. He got everything in the world that he wants, and he's very smart. You need a guy like that can run it.
When you look at Travis Hunter and how you envision him playing, we saw him play both ways in college, right? Won the Heisman Trophy, had an unbelievable career. How do you think, you being a guy that did so many things for a football team, his game translates to the NFL and the role that Travis Hunter needs to play under?
I think he's a full-time defensive player, and probably put him a package together, 15, 20 plays on the offensive side of the ball.
Here's the thing, though. I wonder, because when it comes to eventually making money, I think he's a better defensive back than wide receiver. And that's not throwing shade. I think he's a really damn good wide receiver. And a lot more money to be made, though, at wide receiver. Does that factor into the decision for the player?
There's a lot more money to be made at corner, too. There's some cornerbacks out here getting paid a lot of money.
I know, but we're talking like 30-plus for these wide receivers.
Yeah. I
35.
I think he'd be better on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, he's going from my understanding of what I've heard from sources.
Oh, you got sources?
That he want to play both sides, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. He did it so successfully in college, and if that's your mentality, why would you want to change?
See, though, it's a little different in the NFL, though. Like, it's a whole lot different. It's a lot more physical. It's a lot more faster. You play more games. It's a big difference.
So tell me what you got cooking here. I know you got the new show out there with the Pac-Man Jones Show.
Yeah, shout out to Pac-Man Jones Show, my team at betonline.ag. We're doing sports. We're doing it our way. It's politely raw, you know what I mean? My co-host, Evan, does a great job of helping me pick topics and preparing me and having us on the hottest things that's going on and talk pretty much every sport there is. So, yeah, we're enjoying it, man. You can find it on all platforms, the Pac-Man Jones Show.
Have you ever made it, by the way, to a Vegas Golden Knights game? Because we were supposed to go with Sully.
I know.
And you had a little flight issue last year.
I haven't made it. I'm definitely making a playoff game this year, though.
But we know where you have been.
Yeah.
Pierros.
Yep.
Oh, the veal parm at Pierros.
Oh. What a great restaurant, huh?
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's like a buffet. It's not a buffet, but it's like a buffet, especially when you go with Sully. He knows everybody there, and it's just meal after meal after meal, dish after dish after dish. It's unbelievable.
That place was really good.
He's Adam Pac-Man Jones, host of the Pac-Man Jones Show. We appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem, brother.
You got it. There's Adam Pac-Man Jones. Take a time out. Fred Warner coming up next. Let's send it back to our New York City studios. Coming up with the latest update, here is El Capitan, Marco Belletti. All righty, it's time to ask the pros. Where the listener gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb. Using the hashtag AskThePros, be listening later in the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, 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 low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. And now joining us from the San Francisco 49ers on behalf of Experian is Fred Warner. Fred, appreciate the time. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Well, this year, obviously, you guys are in that mode. You know what? It's Super Bowl or bust.
Of course.
And when the season gets away from you early, it's tough to kind of get it back right and get things smooth sailing. When you look back at this group, and you guys still have a Super Bowl window, I believe that just – what do you think factored into this year just not being as successful as you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about the injuries, and it was real. We sustained injuries at key positions. You know, you talk about losing a Christian McCaffrey to start the year and how crucial that is for your offense. You know, losing Javon Hargrave in week 3 with a torn tricep, not something that you can just, you know, come back from. That ends your entire season. Like, these were devastating injuries that we sustained all across the board. And so it was hard, man, just trying to compete every week and work through that. You know, no excuses at all, but it just wasn't our year.
There were two national storylines, I thought, with the Niners this year. One I think was fair. The other I thought was ridiculous.
They're never fair.
Well, no.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, okay. I'll get to the fair one in a second.
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I know you are. But let me start you off with the ridiculous one.
Sure.
Kyle Shanahan being on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
The dumbest take, I think, in the sports world this past year, where people are like, well, maybe Kyle Shanahan is going to get fired. If he got fired, all right, he still got to win a Super Bowl, he'd be snatched up in a second, and the 49ers would probably regret it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't pay no attention to that type of noise. It's kind of just silly talk to me. But everybody needs something to talk about, especially when your team's not doing well, right? They're always going to find things to harp on and try to attack people. So I'm not surprised that people, you know,
And the fair one, and we'll see if you agree or disagree with
sure.
it. Just what Brock Purdy is. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the apex of Brock Purdy? You're on his team. You've seen what he's done the last few years. I think Brock could be a good quarterback. See, the same thing happens with Jalen. They go, oh, all the players around him, hot take. You need good players to, mm-hmm. to win in this league. Mm-hmm. I think he could be a good quarterback. Would I pay him $55, $60 million? Mm-hmm. You know, if he gets it, God bless. But no, I would not. I would.
No, I'd pay him top dollar, and I'll tell you why. Because, you know, I've watched him up close and personal. I'm there day to day. I know exactly who he is, what he's made of. And I watched the tape, too. You know, I think for anybody who sits there and studies the tape of what exactly do the elite quarterbacks do in this league, being able to create, make all the throws, process at a high level, he does all those every single week. You know, last year being his second year in his career, leading us to a Super Bowl, being a Pro Bowler, in the conversation for league MVP as the mystery irrelevant, you know, last pick of the draft. These are all things that are unheard of. Like, you don't hear about them. It's not common. It's irregular. So, of course, this year when he wasn't MVP status, you know, because of injuries around him, and, you know, none of us were at our top tier, because if we were, then we wouldn't be talking. I wouldn't be talking to you right here. I'd be talking to you at a podium somewhere, you know, playing here. So, you know, at the end of the day, you got to look at the tape. What is real and what is not? And when I look at what's real, I know that he's the real deal, and he's worth every penny.
And to be clear, we'll see if he can become great. Mm-hmm. Right? You have been established in this league. Everyone knows you're one of the best defensive players in this league. I just got to see more out of Brock Purdy to get
NFL.
To that level
of
greatness.
Yeah, that's the NFL. You got to prove it every single year. You know, you can't just be a one-hit wonder, and I understand that. You know, I take pride in every single year having to prove it all over again. You know, it doesn't matter if you did it one time, two times, three times. It doesn't matter. You got to do it every single season. That's what's so hard about this league, is having to go back and do it over and over again.
And the thing I'm most impressed by him, it's who he usurped, mm-hmm. because this team moved mountains to get Trey Lance, and you are Mr. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm. The conviction that Kyle had in him, and I could easily say, oh, well, Kyle didn't know this guy was going to be this good, but you keep on hearing the more and more stories about how he won people over quickly. Mm-hmm. It means a lot, because mm-hmm. you either have that leadership factor or you don't. We've seen a lot of good quarterbacks not be good leaders.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a phenomenal leader, and he leads in the right way, you know, being exactly who he's supposed to be. And the ultimate leaders, they play at a high level to where it doesn't matter what you say that comes out of your mouth. Guys feed off of your actions and, mm-hmm. and how you perform on the field. You know, that's what makes the best leaders, not just what you say in the pregame huddle. So, he's been awesome.
You guys have so many players that have been around the league, and you guys have been so close, but yet so far. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, who's like the most interesting dude on the San Francisco 49ers?
Oh, boy. I can go a lot of different directions with that question. You know, I don't know how much time you got, but there's a lot of different cats. You know, I think people talk about George Kittle all the time and, you know, how much of a character that he is. But, I mean, we got characters all over the team, man. There's so many different personalities, but it just works because we're all made of the right stuff. We all love the games at such a high level where we're willing to put it all on the line every single week to for the common good.
You know what happens when you go on long playoff runs and then you have a season like this. People go, Niners Super Bowl window, it's over, it's done. They had too many battle wounds. They couldn't get to the top of the mountain. I even see the look in your eye when I say this. Mm-hmm. What do you say to people that believe the Niners can't get back here and finally get the job done?
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do. Like, other people's opinions have nothing to do with what we're about to embark on, right? Like, in my mind, the season was over as soon as we didn't make the playoffs. You know, it was time to regroup and get back to what we know and who we are and the standard that we've created and built for the 2026 season, 2025-2026 Super Bowl, right? You know, what is that going to look like? It's going to take everything. You know, it's going to be miserable, honestly. It's never easy. You know, those years where you are coming off of a down year, you don't just snap your fingers, sign a couple guys, draft a couple cats, and all of a sudden you're back. Like, look at what Philly had to go through just to make it to this point, you know? Sirianni having to go through the fire, people calling for his head and all sorts of stuff. So
you're talking to one of them.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like you got to go through the fire, you know, in order to make it. So, that's what I'm looking forward to.
So last year I said about you guys, I said I think the Niners going into this game are the better team from 1 through 53. I picked you guys. But Mahomes is Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
Is that just how you look back at it, that you have Patrick Mahomes, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and you guys could play a good game and it still may not be good enough?
Yeah, listen, Patrick Mahomes, phenomenal, one of the best to ever do it. It's never just going to be about all one person. At the end of the day, you know, people want to make it about Patrick Mahomes at the end of the, but it's a team game. You know, Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, their defense,
Chris Jones,
like there are all these players that are, you know, unsung heroes that don't get the attention, of course. And like I said, Patrick Mahomes deserves all the attention because of the things that he's able to do in the clutch moments to help them win these games. But it's the combination of everything, you know, and so that's what makes him so good. And there's something to be said about having been there and done it one time, their first time back in 2019. Now they have the recipe. They know how to win these tight games because they were down and out in that game against us in 2019, where we're thinking we got them, and like they came back and they won that one in a big way. Now that gives them all the confidence in the world, where it's like it doesn't matter if we're up or we're down in a game. We know we always have a chance as long as we got everybody involved, you know, and everybody on the same page.
So I have to peel back the curtain a little bit. When you sat down on my Twitter feed, it was Deebo Samuel in an Eagle jersey. Now, I don't think Deebo and I are ever going to be sending each other Christmas cards. He hung up the phone once on me in an interview when I was pressing about things that he said about the Eagles. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe when I saw him walking around here in an Eagles jersey. Kelly Green, AJ Brown, that's something I did not believe with his history with that Eagles fan base.
Yeah, no, you know, Debo's always going to be a trendsetter, man. But I know he's boys with AJ Brown. I don't know what if it was an AJ Brown jersey or not. I'm assuming it was. So he's just repping his brother out here at Super Bowl week.
So you go in the Niners locker room. I just want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enamored by Grant Cohn on social media. Mm-hmm. What are the media interactions like? Because I get it. A lot of the beat reporters, you see him every day. Some days you like him, some days you don't.
Sure.
That interaction in particular, I always think is a polarizing one of the Niners.
Yeah,
locker.
Grant, he's obviously brutally honest, you know, to the point where he's gotten under some player skins. But at the end of the day, man, if you're playing so good where he can't say anything negative about you, then that's all that really matters. You know, you got to give him good things to write about, you know, by your play on the field. Don't worry about what the bad things that he's saying about. I don't know. But it's their job to create a story at the end of the day. So it is what it is.
Fred Warner with
us. There's respect both ways.
Yeah. So I know this game, right? It's marketed offense. Mahomes, Kelce, Reed, Jalen Hurts, Saquon, AJ Brown. The defenses, though, in this one, with Jones, Karlaftis, what happens with the Chiefs on the back end and the Eagles, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, you go on and on and on. I think that's the difference in this game. It's going to be the Eagles' defense up against that Chiefs' offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, I could break down every single matchup in terms of position versus position or group. Position group versus position group. You know, because then you flip it the other way, and it's like, man, I'm interested to see how the Chiefs defense goes against Saquon. Like, what's their plan there in the zone read and the RPO in that whole ball game, right? So, I mean, there's so many matchups to be clued in on, and I know
the announcers do a good job of kind of, you know, painting the picture for the fans who are watching the game. Obviously, Tom Brady calling the game, so that's as good as it's going to get. But, yeah, it's going to be a great game to watch.
Last thing I'll ask you, and we'll talk about experience in just a second. For you, you are now established. You are considered one of the best defensive players in the league. I think one day you'll eventually be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When did you start to think, okay, I'm getting that national respect, and I'm not just viewed as a good player, you know, under the radar player. I'm now viewed as one of the top guys, not only by my peers, but a lot of people in this building view you that way.
Yeah, there was a moment in my third season, which I'll always remember and always have great respect and admiration for Aaron Rodgers, because we played them. I want to say it was a Thursday night game in 2020, and they came to town, and we were beat up, and they took it to us. You know, they beat us up when we were down. But, you know, I up to that point, I had been playing pretty good. I was coming off of a good finish to my second season, and I thought I was playing at a high level. But you never really know until, you know, you hear it from some of the greats. And this is the Aaron Rodgers, you know, of course. And after the game, he comes up to me. He's like, man, you know, you're the best. You're the best in the game. You deserve to be all pro. And I happened to be mic'd up. He didn't know that, but I happened to be mic'd. Yeah, I know. Yeah, so it was captured on the mic, and just and that right there kind of just surfaced, and everybody saw it, and it helped me kind of elevate now to that, like you mentioned, that national level.
We forget sometimes that athletes are human beings too. What's your phone like when that clip goes out?
Yeah, no, it blows up. Listen, first of all, I mean, aside from all that, I mean, I'm it doesn't matter how many Pro Bowls or All Pros I make. I'm a fan true and through to the game, like, and to all these guys who have been just phenomenal in this league, even the young guys who are ascending. Like, I'm still a fan, like, at heart. So when I have Aaron Rodgers coming up to me, I'm like, yeah, I know we just competed against each other, but, like, man, you're Aaron Rodgers. Like, this means the world to me. And so, yeah, of course, my mom and, you know, brothers and everybody, like, everybody who is involved in my life, like, hitting me up talking about, like, wow, can you believe this? And yeah, no, it's just surreal to even just be in the NFL, to be honest.
You got the great polo on. Tell us about the work that you're doing today.
Yeah, man, Experian, you're talking about saving time and money, which obviously all of us are always trying to do, right? The great thing about Experian is their app, right? You go on their app and they're able to cancel subscriptions that you don't need or use to help obviously save time and money. We all fall victim to it, where we're always subscribing for something, and
I get an ad for this app,
you know,
at least once a day.
Absolutely.
I scroll and I need it.
I know, and everybody does, and it's so simple too, because it's like these little subscriptions that you fall for, where it may have been helpful for a little bit, but then you just forget about it. But it was a low enough cost where it kind of slides under the radar. But
it's just $5.99.
I'm telling you that $5.99, it adds up over time. So then they do a great job on the app to be able to just take all the descriptions that you don't use or need.
Much respect to you. Really appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much for stopping
Absolutely.
By.
Absolutely. Appreciate you.
There he is, Fred Warner, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Appreciate Fred stopping on by. And we'll see if the Niners can get back in the big game next year with what they've been able to do in the league so far. Really an impressive team. And I'm not just saying that because he's still sitting right next to me. But, geez, the San Francisco 49ers have been unbelievable the last few years. So we do appreciate, obviously, Fred stopping by. Coming up in hour number two, we got Micah Parsons. He's going to join us. Also, Myles Garrett is going to stop by. And I know a lot of people are going to be interested about that one, because we're going to try to figure out where the heck Myles Garrett's going. Is he still here? You got a prediction? You know, the Niners interesting?
Hey, 49ers, what's up? Myles Garrett.
And we'll be joined by Demario Davis and Warren Sapp as well. So we're live in New Orleans. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram and Twitter at Zach Gelb. That is ZACHGELB. We're going to have a lot more coming on back live from New Orleans after these short messages.